This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Attorney General Merrick Garland makes his first public comment since the FBI search of Mar-a-Lago, why he wants a judge to unseal the search warrant. And Disney Plus adds millions of subscribers, but the company downgrades its forecast.
A lot of the streamers, I think, have kind of reached a saturation point, and they're past that initial growth stage that a lot of tech companies go through, for example, where they're in spend, grow mode, and they have to figure out the path to turning a profit now.
More on what that means for the streaming wars. Plus, do spiders dream? How new research could shed light on the evolution of sleep. It's Thursday, August 11th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The Justice Department is asking a Florida judge to unseal the warrant used by the FBI to search former President Donald Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago. Speaking for the first time publicly about the search, Attorney General Merrick Garland said he personally approved the decision and responded to criticism by Trump and his allies that the search was politically motivated.
Let me address recent unfounded attacks on the professionalism of the FBI and Justice Department agents and prosecutors. I will not stand by silently when their integrity is unfairly attacked. The men and women of the FBI and the Justice Department are dedicated, patriotic public servants. Every day, they protect the American people from violent crime, terrorism, and other threats to their safety while safeguarding our civil rights. They do so at great personal sacrifice and risk to themselves.
Justice Department reporter Sadie Gurman says the DOJ does not typically comment on ongoing investigations or request for warrants to be unsealed.
So the Justice Department, in requesting this search warrant be unsealed, cited what they described as the public's clear and powerful interest in understanding what occurred under these circumstances. They said that public interest outweighs any sort of secrecy factor in their investigation, which is very significant because usually the Justice Department is, on the side of keeping documents a secret. So the fact that they want this to be made public shows that they feel like, you know, this is in the public's interest, and also comes as Trump himself has spoken publicly about the search. And, you know, perhaps this is an effort by the Justice Department to counter some of the accusations and claims that Trump has made about the operation.
Trump's aides did not immediately respond to a request for comment. His lawyers will have time to respond to the Justice Department's request, including raising any objections to the unsealing before the judge makes a decision. Home prices keep soaring, even as demand starts to wane and higher mortgage rates push some would-be buyers out of the market. The median price of a single-family existing home rose to a record $413,500, up more than 14% in the second quarter from a year ago, according to the National Association of Realtors. Median prices rose by double digits in 80% of the metro areas tracked across the country. Housing economists expect price growth will slow significantly by the end of the year. Mortgage rates, which briefly dipped below 5%, are now back up. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage was 5.22%, according to Freddie Mac. Other economic data out today shows that price pressures are easing slightly in the supply sector. The Labor Department says the producer price index increased by 9.8% annually in July, its smallest annual increase since October of 2021. Meanwhile, in the labor market, weekly jobless claims rose slightly, hitting a new high for the year. Initial unemployment claims rose to a seasonally adjusted 262,000 last week, continuing an upward trend from a 50-year low in March. In markets, yesterday's rally continued into this morning as the latest inflation data lifted investor sentiment. But ultimately, the major indexes ended the day mixed. The Dow was up 27 points, the S&P 500 was nearly flat, and the Nasdaq fell more than 0.5%, just a day after jumping back into bull market territory. Disney shares ended the day up almost 5% on the heels of Wednesday's strong earnings report and outlook. Later in the show, we'll hear more about Disney's plans for the rest of the year and what they mean for the future of streaming more broadly. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries says global demand for oil will be weaker than expected this year and next, suggesting the cartel sees little need to increase output. OPEC expects a steady climb in production will bring the market close to balanced by the second half of the year. Oil prices have eased significantly from their highs earlier this year and are being undercut by fears of slowing economic growth and signs of respite from the global energy crisis. But energy markets remain volatile. In a separate report, the International Energy Agency said that heat waves in Europe were boosting demand for oil as power stations look for alternatives to natural gas. And the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is scaling back its COVID-19 guidance, saying that people no longer have to quarantine after being exposed to the virus. As long as they don't feel sick, they get tested after 5 days and wear a high-quality mask around others for 10 days. The agency says people should still isolate themselves for at least 5 days if they test positive. The same goes for schools and childcare settings. The agency is dropping its test-to-stay guidelines that kept kids in class through frequent testing and says it's no longer recommending screening testing except in high-risk situations. Officials did not change the guidance on when masks should be worn. The CDC says COVID-19 vaccinations, treatments, and infection-acquired immunity have significantly reduced the risk of severe illness since earlier in the pandemic. Coming up, have streaming services reached a saturation point? What Disney's latest earnings report can tell us after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Disney delivered a blockbuster earnings report this quarter. As we reported this morning, the company saw a 26% increase in revenue thanks to sales at its theme parks and adding subscribers to its streaming video platform, Disney+. Disney's total subscriber base, including its ESPN Plus and Hulu services, now exceeds 221 million customers worldwide. But the situation is complicated. Disney has lowered its long-term forecast for Disney Plus subscribers, and the company said it will be raising prices and adding an ad-supported tier to try to make the service more profitable. This is coming as households are having to balance a slew of rising costs due to record-high inflation. So, what does that all mean for the streaming sector? Reporter Robbie Whalen covers Disney for The Wall Street Journal, and he joins me now. Hi, Robbie. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, let's start there with Disney+. What led to the growth in streaming for the company in the latest quarter?
In the latest quarter, people overseas signed up for Disney+, and at least on a net basis, almost no one signed up in North America, which is really the biggest change that we saw in this quarter's earnings. So we had 14.4 million net new ads on the subscription service Disney+, which is the real central, most important part of Disney's streaming business overall. They also own Hulu and ESPN+, and they have some sort of foreign brands that are included under the Disney+ umbrella. But what everyone looks at and what Wall Street cares about is Disney+ and how fast it's growing. So 14.4 million is a very strong number. On its face, it's the fifth largest ever, you know, net new subs ad they've ever had. When the service was launched in late 2019, it really exploded out of the gate, but that had more to do with things like free promotions. So this 14.4 million, about 8 million came from India with the Disney Plus Hotstar service, and about 6 million came from overseas, and about 100,000 came from the US and Canada. And what that is saying to investors and to people who care about the company's performance is that we really kind of have reached a saturation point for the service in North America. And so everyone was kind of watching, when will we reach the point where it's going to be hard to sign up new fans to Disney Plus? And it sort of looks a lot like we've arrived at that point.
So we've just talked about all of this growth Disney has been experiencing. So walk us through why then the company is downgrading its forecast going forward.
Yeah, it seems sort of counterintuitive, I'm sure. But what you have to understand is that Disney, the goals they had set for their streaming business, which previously had been signing up between 230 million and 260 million subscribers, in other words, making the company look a lot more like Netflix, that goal was widely viewed as pretty unrealistic. What happened was Disney lost the right to broadcast Indian cricket matches, the Indian Premier League. It's one of the most popular sports leagues in the world. They were outbid, and they have 58 million subscribers to Disney Plus Hotstar, which is their Indian service in that country. And what that meant was, if they lose a significant chunk of those subscribers, it really throws off their plan to get to 230 million by the end of 2024. So I think what they're doing is really they're sort of adjusting expectations to be more in line with reality, more realistic. And I think that that's actually going to end up being a good thing for their share price. I think the market is going to reward them for downgrading expectations to something a bit more realistic.
So several streaming services, including Disney, are now considering ad-supported options. What are Disney's plans there, and what does it say about the possibility of losing subscribers due to charging higher prices?
Disney, across many of its businesses, especially streaming, has kind of realized that they're sort of an essential consumer product for a lot of consumers. You know, it's not an option for people to unsubscribe. They need to watch these shows. They need to go to the theme parks as well. The demand at the theme parks has never been as high. And when you're in that kind of pole position in the market, it gives you flexibility to raise prices and actually take some profits. So that's what's happening with Disney. We talk about launching an ad-supported tier. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is they're raising prices across the board for their streaming products. So we're sort of entering a new stage of the streaming wars here, which is that a lot of the streamers, I think, have kind of reached a saturation point, and they're past that initial growth stage that a lot of tech companies go through, for example, where they're in spend, 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 grow, grow, grow mode, and they have to figure out the path to turning a profit now.
And to that point about investors, how is Wall Street responding to Disney's latest earnings report? Are investors still betting overall on the success of streaming?
I think it's fair to say that Wall Street, their love affair with the streaming business has cooled off. It was once very torrid, very passionate love affair with the streaming business. And you need look no further than a stock chart of Netflix's shares to see at one point they were above $700 a share. Today, they are at a fraction of that price. But that's not to say that these businesses are dead or that they're not good businesses or they can never make money. It just means that expectations have been reset. And these are mature businesses now. They're at the point where they need to really think long and hard about their production budgets and how much they're spending, how much money is going out the door versus how much is coming in, which is something they didn't really have to think about so much in previous years. And, you know, Netflix spent about $18 billion last year on content. Disney is planning to spend about $30 billion this year. And I think as they look at what happens with operating income and whether or not they're able to turn a profit from streaming, they're going to have to adjust the P&Ls on that. They're going to have to adjust how much they're spending, whether or not it's worth it, make some harder decisions about kind of what kind of content is produced and ends up on these streaming services. So yeah, it's sort of counterintuitive, I guess, because you would think if they were lowering their expectations for growth, that Wall Street might view that unfavorably. What's instead happening is that Wall Street is recognizing the reality check that Disney is doing, and I think they're rewarding them for it.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Robbie Whalen. Robbie, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
And finally, we do it, dogs do it, but do spiders dream? Some scientists believe they might, based on an observational study published this week. Researchers at the University of Konstanz in Germany examined infrared videos of young spiders sleeping upside down. The videos show the spiders twitching and curling their legs. And parts of their eyes also shifted rapidly, indicating they might be experiencing deeper rapid eye movement, or REM sleep, the time when humans dream. Wall Street Journal science reporter Eric Kneeler has more on the findings.
Well, what it may tell us is that this sort of REM sleep, which is the rapid eye movement, is really more widespread in the animal kingdom and is important for all kinds of animals. In mammals, we know with higher functions for memory and for learning. But it could be that this is also important for what we consider lower animals, insects, spiders, who knows what other animals are exhibiting this behavior, but just haven't been studied yet.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.